And let us turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11 as we continue looking at Moses preaching to the children of Israel before they go into the land of Canaan, reminding them of their history and pointing them forward. And it is a good reminder for us and a good way by which God points us forward. How do we live as those saved by the grace of God? Because, of course, the parallel for us as we consider these words is God has saved us not from Egypt, but from worse than that, from slavery in sin to a much more harsh taskmaster than the taskmasters of Egypt. We need to realize that sin is that evil, horrendous taskmaster. And we have been saved. We have been given these things that we were just talking about in justification, in sanctification, in adoption. These are given to us by God. And those outflowings of them, of joy, of the assurance of love. And so how do we love God? That's what we're looking at this morning. How do we respond as those who have been saved from slavery to sin? And so we read Deuteronomy chapter 11. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arms, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all his land. What he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. What he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, and how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all their substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen the great act of the Lord which he did. Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not a land, or not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens, so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you. And you will dispose greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods, which you have not known. Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan, toward the setting of the sun, in the land of the Canaanites, who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal, beside the terebinth trees of Morah. For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word, God sets before us a blessing and a curse. We might say, well, that's for Israel. In obedience, God says there is blessing. In disobedience and in serving other things, putting them before God, there is a curse. We have to understand that. Now, if we are truly in Christ, yes, this is not eternal matters. But brothers and sisters, the matters that go on in this lead directions. When we continue to be disobedient to God, that leads us somewhere. And we will, over time, walk away from God and prove, as Jude says in the New Testament, that we were never of God. On the other hand, if we make it our business to obey God, to serve him, to be obedient to him, what is that proof of? That's proof that God's working in us. And brothers and sisters, we need to realize how important these things are. God sets before us a blessing and a curse. God will give that which is necessary, that which is abundant to us if we are obedient in this life, but also as we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth. But on the other hand, if we spend our time fighting against God and kicking and screaming as Israel did going across the wilderness, that God will bring very much curses and problems into our lives. And we need to see, and we need to be very aware of those facts, and we as Christians are called to live obedient to God, to turn from sin, to see sin for what it really is, and to be obedient to Almighty God, knowing that God will bless that obedience. Even if other people don't see it, even if other people are not aware of it, God blesses us. Do not grow weary in doing good, for we know that God will provide a blessing. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is God's saved people are called to obey his commandments to receive his blessings. And God will bless us on this earth if we are obedient to him. And we are then also laying up treasure not only on this earth, but in heaven. Certainly, we understand that there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. How do we understand this passage? But brothers and sisters, the parallel is much stronger than the disassociation. That we are called to obedience. Yes, as Paul says, that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. And if we spend our time fighting against God, being disobedient to him, that brings God's judgment. That brings God's chastening. Think of David's life. We've been looking at that in recent months. How much that couple of sins, which yes, were very great sins, messed up the rest of his life, didn't it? And we, brothers and sisters, need to be very careful that we put ourselves in obedience to God. And furthermore, God uses us to his glory all of the more when we are living in obedience instead of in disobedience. And again, the Heidelberg Catechism puts it this way in question answer 63. Do our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and that which is to come? The reward comes not of merit, but of grace. God does reward our good works in this life as well as that which is to come. That reward is not because they're worthy, but because of God's grace. And so in verses 1 through 7, we are called to obedience, knowing God's power and knowing His chastening. In verses 8 through 17, we see that God promises His blessings and cursings. In verses 18 through 25, we see that God calls His people to teach His commands. In verses 26 through 32, we see that God presents His people with a choice. As we kind of summarize this between blessing and cursing, I just want to take a moment to talk about what God says there with teaching. Notice what it says in verse 18. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Lay up these words of God. Memorize Scripture. That's what that means. In your heart and in your mind. Bind them as a sign on your hand. We need to teach God's Word to ourselves. Our self-talk is so important. How do we talk to ourselves when God sends difficulty? Oh, God's being mean to me again. Poor me. Poor Grossman. Is that how we talk to ourselves? Or do we know from our basis of our being that yes, God sends difficulties, but those are there by His blessing, by His love, to fit us all the more for heaven, to care for us, to provide for us greater blessings than we receive through just easy and smooth times. There is, as Charles Spurgeon said, beyond hardship and difficulty, and I'm paraphrasing very much, a far greater blessing than we can receive through the easy times, that can be obtained through simple times. Through hardship comes the blessings that God has fit for us. As the hymn writer puts it, God hides behind a frowning providence His smiling face. So God's saved people are called to obey His commandments, receiving His blessing. We're called to obedience. We need to know God's power and God's chastening. We start out with that word, therefore, and Moses uses that throughout the sermon, throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Therefore, what does that mean? Look back what was said previously, right? In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Because we fear the Lord, because we hold fast to His name and take oaths in His name, because He is our praise, He's what we're about. He has done great and awesome things which they had seen. And brothers and sisters, we need to see and understand that the fact of Christ and His satisfaction on our behalf is greater than bringing Israel out of Egypt. We have seen great and awesome things. You shall love the Lord your God. You shall keep His judgments, His statutes, His commandments. Verse 1, always. They had seen the power of God. They had seen God bring them out of Egypt. He says, I don't speak with your children who haven't seen these things. I talk to you old people. There's not too many of those left. They had seen God's chastening. That God is powerful in that. That God had brought them through the land of through the wilderness to the land of Canaan. His great power. He's going to build on the power of God in this chapter. The acts which God did to Pharaoh in Egypt, the 10 plagues, the destruction of Egypt, The destruction of the Egyptian gods, all of those plagues just wiped down gods of Egypt at the hand of the Almighty God. What God did to Pharaoh's army when they pursued Israel. Notice God protects his people, how the Lord destroyed them as it is to this day. Their horses, their chariot, their whole army were drowned in the Red Sea when they had come after Israel. And how God had destroyed them to that day, and really from all of history as a powerhouse. And we have seen, perhaps not these exact events, but we have seen the power of God saving us. That he sent his Son into this world, not a redeemer like Moses, but a redeemer far greater, the Son of God. The power of God saving us, caring for us, is greater than God taking Israel out of Egypt. They had also seen God's chastening, what God did in the wilderness. Again and again, Israel failed and complained about God's commands and his provision for them. Think how often we complain about what God provides for us. They complained, they wanted more, what God hadn't given them in covetousness. And God sent problems on them, lots of problems and testings. We've talked about that in recent weeks. God sent snakes to bite them and kill them. God sent them times of want. And brothers and sisters, God sends those times on us and those hardships on us to test us and cause us to trust in him. And what did God do? Moses just throws out these names, Dathan and Abiram. He says very little. What happened to them? Well, Dathan and Abiram rebelled against God's minister to them, Moses. And brothers and sisters, I want to just briefly talk about the office that God has set in the church of pastor. And that we as God's people are called not to fight against those whom God has put into the church. That's a very dangerous thing. And they had fought against Moses, not because the pastor is great, but because the office that God sets is great. And in Numbers 16, they were rebelling against Moses. And they put all of Israel in danger. These Dathan and Abiram led a rebellion. And the earth swallowed them up. Moses says, if God makes a new thing, and the earth swallows them up, and they go straight down into the pit, alive. And that's what exactly happened. So there are not only living people in heaven, there are living people in their physical bodies in hell. And God chastened Israel again and again, calling them back to himself. And God chastens us. Again and again, calling him back, ourselves back to him. He said, your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord. Don't forget what God has done in bringing them out of Egypt. Don't forget what God has done in bringing us out of sin, out of that slavery worse than Egypt. And also remember the awesome acts of God in saving us, sending his Son into this world to save us. And God lays out before Israel his blessings and his cursings. He calls them to obedience with the promise of blessing. Therefore, because God will bless and because God will bring cursings and God will bring chastisement upon his people, therefore, be obedient to every commandment which God has commandments. And God promises, based on that fact, his physical blessings in this world. God does connect obedience with blessing. God in his commandments tells us how the world works. If we obey his commandments, we have two major things going for us. First of all, God's promise of blessing and that he does bless. But as well, in keeping God's commandments, and by the way, this does work even if it's done in an outward manner. The United States has been living on this for years as the people of the United States have walked away from true Christianity. If we are obedient to God's commandments, God tells us in those commandments how this world works. So if we keep His commandments, if we don't steal, if we are faithful to one wife or husband, if we are go through the commandments, if we are not liars, if we're not covetous. By the way, go back to the first commandments. If we do put God first, if we do keep from having other images of other gods with it around us, if we do set and worship God as He ought to be worshipped, and keep His name holy, and keep His day holy, resting from our labors, God blesses those things. Even if they're done from an outward perspective, but much more if we do them from our heart as servants of God. We are to keep God's commandments, not to save ourselves, but because God has saved us. And we show our thanksgiving to God by obedience to Him. He says that you may prolong your days in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God is the one who gives us long life. We think the doctors do that nowadays, don't we? Well, I love, you've heard me say this before, what my brother says, we can't make you live longer, but we can make you die slower. I heard that from a different doctor, not quite the same thing, in the last week. It's so true. We can't make you live longer, but we can make your death a lot slower and more painful. And brothers and sisters, if we're Christians, why do we want to hang on to life that hard? We know where we're going. Yeah, there are times when we have work to do on this world to care for our families and stuff like that. But at the other end of it, if we've lived long in this world, far better to go with and be with our Savior, which is, as Paul says, better. The promised land is cared for by the Creator. The promised land is not like this land, Egypt, where you sow seed and water it like a vegetable garden. For Egypt, farming relied on the Nile River and on the floods of the Nile River, and they had to muck through knee-deep mud to divert the waters of the floodwaters into the fields. There was essentially no rain in Egypt. And God says the land, the promised land you're going into, is totally different. It's a hill, land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. There could not be such watering in the land of Canaan. Yet instead, God provides the rain that's necessary. And note that that reliance points us to the provision of God and to His blessings or His judgments. A land for which the Lord cares. His eyes are always on it throughout the year. And God provides and cares for that promised land day by day. And God promises to reward obedience with His blessings. You shall earnestly, He says, obey God's commandments to love Him and serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. Earnestly obeying God's commandments. Notice that word earnestly. It doesn't mean haphazardly, like we so easily as human beings do, isn't it? To love Him, to serve Him. Loving God for what He has done in saving us. Serving Him because He deserves that, having purchased us with the blood of Christ. And due to obedience, God promises rain in season, grain, oil, wine, grass for the livestock. Remember that Israel was dependent on God to provide the rain that was necessary. We are too, aren't we? And we look to God's hand to provide these things. And we are called to put God's commandments first and trust in Him to provide what we need day by day, moment by moment. And God is the one who provides food for theirs and for our tables. Not geopolitics, not following man's commands, but following God's commands. And God, on the other hand, promises His curse on those who place their trust in other gods. Take heed that you do not turn aside to follow other gods and worship them. One of the ways in which we can identify that we are following other gods is whether we are pulled away from obeying God's commandments. If I think I've got to do it this way instead of obeying God, guess what this way is telling me? I think that's more important. And we can easily make ourselves and our desires our gods and serve ourselves. Of course, you know that John Calvin said we are idol factories. We can make an idol out of anything. We're good at it. What gets the honor? What gets the glory and the worship in our lives? Again, there are so many things that we easily make more important for God than God, I'm sorry. And God doesn't play second fiddle well. And because of that, the Lord's anger will be aroused against Israel. Remember, they didn't do very well at this, did they? And guess what? We don't either. We got to take full knowledge of that, and we've got to say, no, I will be obedient to God. And God says, what's going to happen when they do that? There will be no rain, no produce, and you will die quickly from the promised land. God promises his cursings, his judgment. We will not receive his blessings, and we will receive his judgment. I think we're going to come to an end here pretty quick. But brothers and sisters, we need to understand how important obedience is to God. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. But brothers and sisters, as the Apostle James says, as Paul himself says, faith without works is dead. If I can have a blank and empty faith that just says, I believe Jesus, what does Paul say, or what does James say? Even the devils believe and tremble. Now, brothers and sisters, faith that is true faith is working faith. Causes us to live in a different manner than this world. And brothers and sisters, Moses lays it out so clearly before us, and we're going to see, Lord willing, next week as we look at how then do we do this? How do we live in this world? We need to train ourselves. We need to beat it into our heads, because guess what? I'm pretty stupid. I got to whack myself a few times, don't we? We like that school of hard knocks. Rather listen to God and learn from him. Learn from his commandments, his words, his statutes, his judgments, than think, I know better. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your warnings, and we pray, Lord, that we would take them to heart, that we would not just wave, as it were, a magic wand over them and say, grace, 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 we don't have to worry about this. But we would truly see that you chasten your people, that you call us back when we are disobedient to you. And we pray, Lord, that we would be, by your Spirit, those who are ready and obedient, those who do not make gods out of everything, any way, anyhow. And we pray, Lord, help us as your people all the more to glorify your holy name in living obediently to you, in thanksgiving to you. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you for your blessing and rich abundance that you do provide far and beyond anything we ever deserve. And so, Lord, we pray that we might glorify our great and awesome Savior who has given his life, who has done more awesome things than Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, that we would glorify him with all of our words and works. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.